Good morning. Welcome to Magic City Sports Talk, and it is a Hall of Fame edition here. I am pleased to be joined by Kelly O'Neill. It's been a while since we've had a chance to sit down and converse about sports and life. Kelly, longtime baseball and softball coach in the area, I guess most associated with his many years at Westrand High School, and he will be inducted into the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame in Springfield in the month of May. They're calling it a baseball celebration. And Coach O'Neill, welcome to the show. When did you find out, and what was your reaction?
Well, they contacted me about 3 weeks ago, and I was absolutely shocked. I mean, I've been out of the business now for 10 years and kind of let all that extra go by the wayside and settled into a different lifestyle, and it was just total shock.
The ceremony will be May 25th. You've been inducted into Hall or Halls of Fame. I know you're in the softball. Are you in the baseball?
I was inducted into the baseball Hall of Fame in 1997 and then softball in 2006.
But to be in the state Hall of Fame?
Oh, that's a whole different level. You can tell by the people that have been inducted in it previously and then the other four inductees that are going in May.
Ceremony will be May 25th. Did you ever meet John Donaldson?
No, I never had the pleasure to meet him.
He'll be going in as well. He's a Glasgow, Missouri native, 33 years in the Negro Leagues, and also, I believe, was the first African-American scout in Major League Baseball. So a feather in the cap of that family and the Glasgow, Missouri community there. Kelly O'Neill, winning to softball coach in Missouri history. Softball, baseball. What did you enjoy either one most? And then I'll follow up with the next question.
Well, it's quite a bit of difference coaching young men and coaching young women. And I don't know. I grew up a baseball player, enjoyed baseball probably the most in my younger career. But baseball's a little bit more challenging physically for a coach, and also I think it's a little more competitive. The era that I ran through in the late 70s through the 2000, a little more competitive as far as traditions and communities and stuff like that. But softball really started catching on in around the middle 90s with the 96 Olympics being the first Olympics, and so much advertising of that. Travel teams just went crazy. Coaches started having clinics and all the stuff that baseball had been doing since the early 80s. And so it was just a catch-up time. And once the game got to be played the way that I always knew that fast pitch was supposed to be played, it was great playing it. And the games don't last 2.5 hours either.
No. So you kind of have answered it, but the differences, how did you have to adjust? I guess specifically with the game itself, softball, baseball, what are the biggest adjustments for specifically a young coach who might take on the challenge of coaching both sports?
Well, I was successful early for whatever reason, and I kind of give God the advantage there on allowing me to have a great career. But I started coaching baseball there at Sturgeon in 78, and we got our first state championship in 80 and then repeated in 82 and probably had my best team in 83. And then it was awesome when I came to Westrand, too, how good the baseball teams was. And, softball, actually the first year I coached at Westrand, we took second in state and then ran off 6 Final Fours in a row. So I didn't really have a lot of the pain of trying to develop from a losing situation or anything like that. I think I took my baseball skills and put them into softball, but I had a very unique experience ahead of time with the fast pitch, in that growing up at Prairie Home, Missouri in Cooper County, our small schools played fast pitch softball for the men. And so I had 4 years of high school fast pitch, in high school instead of baseball. And I learned to pitch from the people in the community. We had quite a fast pitch team in our community. It was kind of a 4 or 5 county all-star team. And so I had quite a bit of exposure pitching softball and understanding the really good men's fast pitch softball of the 60s. I think that gave me a great advantage when I started coaching softball. I probably, being 6'1" and over 200 pounds, I probably could pitch at least harder than any girl in the state that we faced. So I think being a baseball pitcher, pitching batting practice, being a softball pitcher, pitching batting practice, and understanding a high level of the games that I'd been exposed to early in my career, I think that was probably the key to my success.
Did you always throw batting practice to your girls?
Yes, I threw batting practice up through 2007 when I was probably too old to be doing it and definitely overweight. And that actually is where you start looking at starting to retire, is when you're throwing over an hour of batting practice every day and you start having some bodily breakdowns. So people think softball isn't too taxing, and it's not for a big man that's just trying to throw 60 mile an hour down, but those legs take a pounding when you're striding out on them that many pitches every day. It's not like you take a day off. When
you didn't ease up on them either, did you?
No, we challenged them pretty hard,
both in pitching and in coaching them, right?
Yeah, we run a pretty solid program. I've told several people, even with this just a 10-year gap, to start over and coach my style. There's not many of us around anymore, and I wouldn't want to compare myself to Jim Enloe at Centralia and Larry Littrell in basketball there at Glasgow, but old Bob Roberts there at Cairo run a pretty hard disciplined program. Old Barry Kennecke in baseball down at Hallsville. I would like to put myself among those guys as far as disciplined programs, and I'm not for sure that they'll allow you to start out and coach a starting program that way.
Yeah, that's a credit to your parents.
The parents and the communities. I have young coaches, you know, that will ask and so on, and I didn't start out so well. I mean, boys basketball in the small schools is where the sport was in 1975 when I started. And my first 3 years of coaching boys basketball at Jamestown, I won 3, 4, and 7 games. I went to Sturgeon as a head boys basketball coach and won 7 and 10 my first 2 years there. So there's my first 5 years of the major sport in those two schools. And when the young coaches ask me how I won all those games and how I could have all this going on, I tell them, you know, you pay your dues. So I got 5 years in of being hammered pretty hard, and then but quite honestly, from that first 5 years on, I've just been blessed. It's hard to understand, and it put a smile on my face when I think about it.
Yeah, you attended Mizzou and you were a walk-on.
I walked on my
pitcher,
my sophomore year. Yeah, my freshman year, first night in the dorm, I was sitting there eating supper, and in walked a guy from New Franklin that I'd pitched ball against I don't know how many years. He said, "Kelly, where were you?" And I said, "What do you mean, Charlie?" And he said, "We have baseball tryouts today." And I said, "Well, I'm not here at Mizzou to play baseball." And he said, "Well, you're as good as I am." And so I went and talked to High Simmons the next day there in the P department. And he said, "Well, you can come out, but we've got about 50 pitchers to look at." So my freshman year, I didn't even get looked at. I didn't even get to pitch. Sophomore year, having spent a year in the P department, I knew when practice started, and it was the first day of school, which was the first day after the day after Labor Day. And they had about 50 pitchers, and I think I was the only one they kept. So that was pretty interesting. I only got to dress for home games, and I only got to pitch one big 8 inning. But I pitched a lot of batting practice and humbled myself down a whole lot compared to where I was at down at Little Prairie Home, where I could throw it 84, 85 miles an hour and just throw it past them. And I tell the story of the first 3 innings that I threw a scrimmage in the fall there that first year, first three innings. I think they hit five over the fence there at Simmons Field, and I'd had maybe two hit off of me in my whole career up to that time. So it was a wonderful experience to see the intensity of those practices and what true level baseball players look like instead of just a little small town wannabe.
All right, that is Kelly O'Neill. We're going to take a break. We're on Magic City Sports Talk. Here we're going to talk more about his successful career coaching high school baseball and softball in just a moment.
Eatside Diner at the corner of Highway 24 and 129 on the east end of Salisbury is under new management. Enjoy their hot buffet with roasted fried chicken and sides, a full salad bar, and homemade desserts. Thursdays, there's livers, gizzards, and chicken, and on Fridays, chicken and fish. The new hours are Monday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 11 a.m. until 8 p.m., and on Sundays from 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. Eatside Diner is open on Mondays, so take advantage of the short drive for a great home-style meals in a family-friendly facility. Carryouts are available.
As an entrepreneur, you're always on the go. So turn your mobile phone into a business phone system with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. Make and receive business calls using our iPhone and Android apps. Get a new business number or keep your current one. Forward your calls to any phone and even get your voicemails transcribed. Join over 250,000 small businesses who stay connected with Grasshopper. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
He learned to pitch in your backyard. Now his team's coming over to celebrate their high school championship. So you need to patch those bare spots fast. Pennington One Step Complete has a revolutionary formula that repairs bare spots in only 2 weeks or less. Pennington's been trusted since 1945, and now it works even faster. One Step Complete from Pennington. Honest green. Get your lawn ready for any occasion. Head to your local retailer to pick up One Step Complete.
There's just so many hours in a day and a week, and then what little time you have left, you have to clean the house? Take what little time you do have and enjoy yourself and your family, and let Chef Jeff's Cleaning Service clean your house. Professional, residential, and commercial full-service cleaning is available by the girls you know and trust. Chef Jeff's Cleaning Service is licensed and insured and charges only $20 an hour. For more information and to have your house or business cleaned, call 676-7250. Chef Jeff's Cleaning Service. References available upon request.
Mr. Kelly O'Neill in studio with me. It's Magic City Sports Talk. Coach O'Neill will be among the class inducted in the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame with ceremonies as part of the baseball celebration May 25th in Springfield. Coach O'Neill, the winningest to softball coach in Missouri history, 515 wins, just 92 losses from 1975 to 2007. Most of that West Rand High School, a little bit at Jamestown. 15 trips to the state semifinals. The one thing that, as you were having your successful years at West Rand, people would say, man, O'Neill's always got a pitcher. It wasn't just by chance, was it? I mean, when did you start? I mean, you had to look down the grades, or did you? Or is it just high school? Did you identify young talent and say, let's see if we can't develop some pitching?
Okay, this is how all that got started. When I got there, they had a girl that pitched fast pitch. And we had a lot of slingshot throwers and various types of pitchers around on our schedule and so on. This girl actually was a great athlete, and she could pitch, didn't understand pitching, didn't have the catching to understand how to catch a pitcher that's actually pitching instead of just throwing. So we got that all implemented, and we took second in state. The next year, we had a girl step up, and she hadn't been polished up as a pitcher or anything, but she had a heart like a lion, and she was so competitive, and she tossed us to third in state that year, and again, we put a great team behind her. While this was going on, we had a principal move in our school district, Richard Ray, and he had a daughter, and they had come over here from Hannibal. And Hannibal's a great softball community in that era, at least. And he had his daughter practice pitching. Well, he didn't have time after school to catch her, so he kept Carmen Perry there, who lived pretty close by, to catch her. And this was eighth graders and over at Clifton Hill. And so they would take Carmen home if she stayed and caught his daughter. Well, his daughter got tired of pitching, so they would switch off. And in the meantime, then Carmen Perry learned kind of how to throw, and we polished her up a little bit as she went along. They were putting out some pitching tapes at this time, so I got one of those. And, of course, by the time the Carmen got done her 4 years, she was 69 wins and four losses, and we had state championship and 2 seconds and a third. And from there, we had a Jacoby girl that pitched for us, Marcy Jacoby, in the early 90s. We had Stacy Williams. We had Christy Cunningham, which her parents worked here for Crest Radio, and she was an awesome pitcher. And they moved us up into the Class 3 bunch, and up through 92 to 95. She took fourth in state in 95. And then we had the legend Lindsay Jacoby come along, and Lindsay pitched us to first in state in 96 and second state in 97. And we went into Nicole Davenport, and her mother groomed her, had her at clinics and everything else, bringing her up to play travel ball out of Columbia. And she was a four-year pitcher for me and set state records. And we rolled on up to Megan Summers, who ended up winning 79 games in her 4 years, and Becca Schimmer. And they had great parents that caught them. Wendy Schimmer, Nicole Davenport, and Becca Schimmer's mom sat on that bucket and caught girls throwing almost 60 miles an hour, 100 pitches a day, just day after day after day. So, yes, I taught them how to maybe pitch locations and how to spin the ball a little bit and this and that, but how to work the batters, I called all the pitches. But my gosh, I had parents that just basically bought in and really spent the extra time to develop pitchers.
Yeah. Three state titles, 87, 96, 99. A record 8 second place finishes.
Yeah,
so who knows how you were knocking on the door.
That's a record nobody will ever break. I'm number two.
Three third places and fourth. So let me just there's too many. You can't go through all the teams.
I know.
Was there one team that surprised you in how high they finished? And then was there one that was really I won't say disappointing when you get to state, that's not too disappointing, but you thought this is a state championship team and we didn't catch a break?
Well, the 2002 softball team, and like I put in the paper, was when Katie Wilhite was a senior that year, and she was an all-star second baseman, went to Central Methodist and was their female athlete of the year down there of all the sports. And we had two pitchers coming up, and we had circumstances where we end up losing both of those pitchers. And Katie, you know, said, I'll do it. I'm the senior. I'm the leader. I'll work. So she worked that summer. And I had told the girls, if we win 5, I'll be happy with you. I'll just work hard, and we'll plan for next year. We got a pitcher coming up. And we finished 17-7. Unbelievable, because I told them we'd win 5 at the best. I'd be happy if we win 5, and they win 17. As far as disappointments, I would jump back to, I don't know that I can say that too much about softball. I mean, when you're in the Final Four, you've done a great job. All the second place ones, we've lost 3 or 4 of them by one run, but maybe we shouldn't even have been there. I don't know.
Well, that's why I say there's just, and I've covered many of those Final
you
Fours.
Sure,
and I talked with Max Mothersbaugh over the summer, and we were talking about O'Neill and softball. I mean, it was just a heyday for softball, and it was just maybe one miscue, one play, one key hit that was a difference.
Yeah,
it was so good.
One error, one extra walk, one pass ball on the catcher. I mean, it was, I just always scouted and filmed and stayed up at night and had things so analyzed and stuff. And we probably wouldn't have won as many if I hadn't, but we manipulated as much as we could. And there was times we had a 23-1 record when my daughter was a junior. And I mean, we were awesome. And, we end up playing our sectional or quarter, I forget, on a field that had a 15-foot backstop. You're looking at a state sectional or quarterfinal, and you got a field with a 15-foot backstop. We had every opportunity in the world, probably 5 or 6 times, to score from third on pass balls, and never got a single one of them in there. We ended up losing the ball game 2-1, and that team was 23-1. We finished that season 23-2, and I would say we'd have been probably second state again.
Yeah.
But had a 1983 baseball team at Sturgeon that was undefeated, that we got beat by the eventual state champs, who won the state by a score of 17-3, and we lost to them by one run in extra innings. We also had the 1988 baseball team at West Strand that was like 18 or 19-0, and nobody had really even touched us, and we ended up losing 1-0 in our district championship. And then went to the Final Four in 89 and 90, but we were, that was, that 88 team was probably the best team I had at West Strand for sure, and I don't want to try to compare them to the teams at Sturgeon, because those guys down there, they're pretty hard on me if I did try that. So, but anyway.
Kelly O'Neill with me here on Magic City Sports Talk. Got a few more minutes. Thoughts on your baseball career? You've kind of mentioned some of the state championship teams at Sturgeon, your success at West Strand, combined 338 wins, 123 losses. What sticks out about players or teams or anything?
I would say, as far as my career, the baseball run through the 80s, to me, matches easily any run, 10-year run that I did in softball. I had those 80 championship, 82 championship, maybe one of the best teams, the undefeated team that got beat in 83. I come here in 84. We lose the state quarterfinal to Kenneke there at Hallsville, 16-14, and my two of my top five players went on a senior class trip before that quarterfinal. So actually that 84 team probably should have slipped into the Final Four if I'd had everybody. 85, we had a little down year. 86, we took second in state. 87, I think Salisbury was a little better than us. 88 was the team I said that was undefeated, and I think we were probably state champs that year if we could have got by that district game. 89, we took fourth. 90, we took second in state. So people look at my softball and softball, 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 because that's what I did my last 17-year run there was mostly softball, not so much baseball. But that baseball was quite a deal from 1980 through 1990.
Let me get your thoughts. We have a rule change in baseball that is now putting coaches and pitchers on a pitch count. Now, the overall thought is the safety of the player and the arm, and I don't think anybody argues with that. But are we seeing some growing pains? And from as being an old baseball coach, as you look at it, what needs to be tweaked, or are we gone too far? I don't want to get you in trouble or put you on the hot seat, but you've been on advisory committees, and you know how this process works. What are your thoughts?
I've been right in the middle of every change that there's been since the 80s.
Yeah.
Sure enough, the big physical change is that the umpires have to squat up and down about an extra 100 times every night umpiring. Because
we're going to see some high-scoring games
lots
of pitches.
Because of the star pitchers are being limited. You got a senior who's a two- or three-time All-Stater that's 6'2", 200 pounds, and he can go out there and easily throw 100 pitches every 3 days without any trouble. And now he's limited, or whatever the old rule was and so on, you get them limited, and you're actually looking at, the way I got it figured, you're looking at, if it didn't rain and you had a regular full schedule, you're looking at needing five pitchers. And I mean pitchers. Throwers don't get very far in the game of baseball and softball. You need five pitchers to play the JV and varsity schedule each night. I mean, if you're going to cram the number of games that Michelle allows you to play into the short season, you're going to have to develop a lot of pitchers, and pitching takes time. And kids, how do you motivate them to do all the repetitions? You know, they'll keyboard like crazy and play with their gadgets like crazy, but I can remember the amount of time that the music teacher asked me when I was learning how to play trumpet in fourth and fifth grade, and how much the commerce teacher, I'm old school, ain't a commerce teacher, had us practice typing when we was trying to type when we were sophomores in high school, and to go out and throw the quality number of pitches that you have to actually be a pitcher. it's hard to motivate it, and that's where we're at right now.
So what's going to happen is you just throw somebody in there and say, do the best you can and get me an inning or two, and then you're going to have lots of runs and high-scoring games. And you said the umpire is going to have to be get a workout.
Yeah, my first game this year, I'll guarantee you there was well over 300 squats up and down because the pitchers were this early in the season were not ready yet, and they get their pitch count up. They're taking out the best pitchers, and the very best pitchers are coming out of the game in the fourth inning when normally they would throw like seven in some situations. So,
well, yeah. We're going to have to wind things down.
Sure
and
enough.
I should have asked this question earlier, but let's leave it with this. So we've talked about your outstanding career. What did you want to be when you were a kid? A coach? Or when did that all develop?
Well, I can tell you a couple things. Long about seventh grade, I decided I didn't want to be a farmer.
Okay.
Not that I don't like to work, but I'll tell you
You were
what,
on a farm?
I grew up on a okay. pig farm, cattle farm, row crop.
Okay.
And we did things the hard way. We didn't have a telephone. We didn't have water in the house, and we scooped our grain, and we pumped water for the hogs, and it was rough. So I knew it then, and then by the time I was sophomore in high school, I'd already made up my mind I wanted to try to be a coach. So that's pretty darn lucky and blessed is the word, to be able to choose a career. And there was never a day that I went to school that I didn't want to go to school, not college, but I mean teaching. And there was never a day that I went to ball practice that I didn't want to go to ball practice. So if that's not being blessed for your career, I don't know what would be.
Outstanding, long overdue. Congratulations on your coming induction in the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame.
Brad, thank you all very much. And Crest Radio has truly also been a blessing to this community. And all the tapes I have at home that you guys have done, they're keepsakes. They're in the vault. And my kids and grandkids will get to listen to them. So
don't let them turn to dust now.
Thank you all very much. Well, I keep converting them
there
from
you go.
This to this to this. So good enough.
Mr. Kelly O'Neill, he's a Hall of Famer, great coach in our listening era. We appreciate him stopping by here on Magic City Sports Talk. Trading Post is coming up next.
80% of blood donations given to the